Welcome to episode 403 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel, from supporting local economies to learning about new cultures. The experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Lindsay, Elizabeth, and George. Barcelona is one of the most unique cities in the European continent. From its medieval roots to the postmodern architectural buildings, the skyline of Barcelona is unlike anywhere else. Located on the Mediterranean Sea, it's a regular pre-cruise or post-cruise stop for many Mediterranean itineraries. So come, let's find out all there is to know when you come along with Lindsay, and she'll tell us all about it.
So I did go on this past trip. It was right before a cruise, but I was there for about 4 days and we did a pre-tour. And this was my first trip to Barcelona where I actually got to spend time in Barcelona. So I was really excited to do that. I was there with one of my favorite river cruise companies, and they had put together kind of a pre-itinerary for us. And they had us at the Renaissance in downtown. And this hotel is actually, when I first saw, because okay, when we think Renaissance and Radisson in the US, we kind of have a different opinion of those hotels than they are abroad. This was a very beautiful hotel, gorgeous rooftop bar, entertainment area, very walkable area, a nice right down in the area, in the part of town that you want to be in. And they had, you know, the full, just like anytime I'm abroad, I'm always amazed at what they serve for breakfast in the morning. So our full breakfast had like an actual honeycomb. I forget what it's called, but it's on the metal, or not metal, but the wooden thing. Do you know what that's called?
It's a stand.
Anyway, it's a stand with the honeycomb, and yes, I was all over that every morning for breakfast, but their cheeses and charcuterie. It was like a whole giant charcuterie board for breakfast, and some of the best eggs and best food, and those little, what are they called? The little tarts, but they're with custard.
Pop tarts?
No, they're like, it's like a little, I forget what they're called, but they were fantastic. They've got like an egg custard, and when the top is just a little bit crispy brown done, it's gorgeous. I'm sorry, I can't remember. It's like flan, but it's not flan.
Okay, anyway, gotcha.
I'll remember later. But it was delicious. So we had a great hotel, wonderful location. I even had dinner one of the nights. Well, not dinner. I had when I got in the first night, I was a little late in arriving, so I missed like the welcoming reception with the food. So I went and had dinner at the bar, like I do. And so I had like some incredible take on nachos, which is a little bit unique and different. And got to try some local beers and then the next day kind of went out and we did our city tour. And then when we were free, let's see, what did I do? Of course, I went to go find food right away. And there's in downtown, there's this place called the El Nacional Barcelona. And it's like, just picture a high-end food court with like black wrought iron decorations inside with leaves and plants and just very beautiful, elegant feeling type food court. And each area, I don't want to call it with each little restaurant represented a different type of food from all over the Iberian Peninsula. So it was kind of a nice way to get a little taste, but when you don't kind of know what you're ordering, I ordered poorly. So I had some great stuff and some not so great stuff, but so that was my lunch. Let's see.
Well, and that always is the case when you're, you know, somewhere, some things are absolutely fantastic and other things are like, well, you know, I tried it and I don't have to try it again.
Part of the adventure.
I need someone to take me by the hand and take me to the good food in places I have never been before. So that is why I set up independently a food tour to do in the evening. And it was the best I have the most amazing guide now. I have great connection with the most amazing guide there. She took us to the cutest little hole in the wall bodegas. Like the streets, all the streets in Barcelona are these picturesque, tiny little windy alleyways. I mean, one of our guides said to have a car in Barcelona was to have a problem, because there's nowhere to put it and there's nowhere to back in and out. So there's a lot of little Vespas and scooters and bicycles everywhere. But there's these beautiful alleyways, and you can imagine the buildings are really tall and they all have the balconies. And so you're very picturesque walkways and paths and tiny little stores and restaurants in these just little hole in the wall places. And many of which I had passed during the day and never even gave a glance to on my city tour. When I was going around the city and being in awe of all the architecture. And of course, we went to the La Familia.
Sagrada
Familia, yes. And of course we went to go see the Gaudi house and all of that. And so you're constantly everywhere when you're walking in the city, if you've never been there before, your eyes are just drawn in every direction because there is beautiful architecture. There is amazing street art. I have never taken so many pictures of graffiti and street art in my life, like gorgeous murals everywhere. But we walked past some of these places, and to go back on the tour, on the food tour, and see that there's this restaurant right there that had the most incredible food and had this amazing vermouth drink, which is also something that Barcelona is known for. Spain is known for using vermouth in the drinks as well. And to have our little tapas in this place, and knowing the whole time that I would have never had that experience on my own. There's no way I could have ever stumbled in there accidentally. So that was really neat. I probably had about 15 or 16 small bites. And it was wonderful.
Drinks, obviously you were eating real well. Yeah. What were you drinking?
Yeah. So Estrella, of course, that was the first thing I had right away. The most popular beer there. I did also have, what's called the Keller, Donesia 1872. This will probably be the first thing for anybody like writes in about, well, actually, please correct me on where this is from. Cause I'm assuming, cause I said I wanted local beer when he asked, I said local, only local beer. And so he gave me this, and it was delicious. But I did notice on the back of the bottle that it's won awards in like Chicago.
And all over the world. That doesn't necessarily mean it's just brewed there.
Yeah, maybe it is brewed there and taken elsewhere. But yeah, that was good. Had some pretty interesting wine. I didn't do as great of a job as I normally do of keeping track of the wine that I liked and making a note of it so I can find it later. So I'll have to go back for that. But yeah, definitely added 6 new beers to my little list. And
so does Barcelona have a big craft beer?
It's not movement? Not in the way that a lot of the other countries that I've visited recently. I'm seeing different cities where it's cropping up. I'm not saying it's not there, but I didn't see any of that type of craft where there's the off the wall kitschy flavors or things like that.
Estrella kind of has a chokehold on Spain. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so they distribute everywhere.
Yeah. So this is more traditional beer. And but definitely I'm seeing that everywhere else I'm going. Craft beer is taking over.
So what kind of stuff did you do on your city tour?
So we did, it was one of those combo tours where you do part of it in the bus, and you kind of get the overlay of the land. So we went out by the, so I should preface this as I was not in off of a cruise ship or leaving on a cruise ship from Barcelona. So in the city tour was the time that I went by the port. So I got to go down to the port area. We toured all around. We went out to the La Estrada, La Familia. We went out to this, beautiful overlook of the city, which is located right in front of the museum. It's the art museum, but it's called MPAC or something. MPAC. That area, courtyard area outside, you could tell that there were a lot of locals there who, there were some people trying to sell some things, but it seemed like there were some students and some locals having lunch on the stairs, and they had all these stairs going down the steep hillside. There was a couple fountains in the center, and they had this beautiful kind of area where you could sit and overlook the entire city. And so that was very beautiful. Got some great shots up there. Didn't get to go in the museum because I didn't have enough time, but definitely saw lots of art in the architecture form in Barcelona. The buildings are just incredible. And some of them, when you're looking at them, you can't get a, you know, that you're right up on top of them. You almost need to be on a rooftop or in a building across the street, looking out the window to really appreciate some of the intricacies of the designs on especially on the Gaudi buildings and the all the little unique architecture, and definitely unlike anything I've seen anywhere else in the world so far.
Yes. Yes.
What's the La Familia thing you talked about?
The Grotta Familia.
Yeah.
The Grotta Familia. So that's the church. Well, I mean, this is going to sound very, very boiled down in layman's terms, but it's like the church they're never going to be done building.
That's what I've heard. Like, it's always going to be changing. So you need to go back kind of thing.
They're constantly putting a new spire on and doing this and that. And so it's like in 9 years, they're going to have this other thing done. They will have to come back and see that when that's finished. But there's constant work being done on it. It's very interesting. And I'm fascinated by, you know, it's got some design aspects in it that kind of look a little bit, they can be interpreted different ways. And so there are some figures on this church that look like, somebody said, look like stormtroopers.
Okay.
I'm sure they're not, they're saints, but,
the original drawing, they were supposed to be 12 spires for the 12 apostles. And originally in Gaudi's lifetime, they only finished 4 of them. Yeah. And they kind of let it sit there for a long time.
Yeah. And so now they're just pouring money into it. I don't know.
To try to finish his design.
Or...
So do they have like a lot of land that is not developed yet? Or is it just all like building on the same area?
No, it's all building on the same area. They're just building up. They're just building it like right off of the building itself. And, but it is quite the draw. I mean, that's probably the busiest place we were.
I mean, that's what I think of when I think of.
Right. That's any picture of Barcelona seems to have that in it, no matter where they take it from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was in there, they actually, the inside was completely bare. They were completely reworking the inside. They had taken out all the pews. They had taken out, they had scaffolding up and everything. They've taken out a lot of the glass and the colors and everything because they didn't want to damage it while they were renovating.
While they're renovating.
they're always renovating.
It is beautiful and it's definitely worth seeing, but I think my favorite church, there was a Gothic church in the Gothic quarter in downtown that was even more beautiful to me. But it was kind of in these built, overbuilt courtyards, and there were little gargoyles up on the side of it. And it's just very beautiful architecture and very kind of a peaceful, laid back. I would say I had that city, you know, you can kind of catch the energy of a city. Sometimes if you're paying attention of the hum and buzz of the city, for a busier city, it felt a little bit more laid back than what you would imagine for that many people living in one area. And, working one area, so
probably because the lack of the cars, like no traffic, you know.
It's true.
Well, and it's coastal too. I mean, I feel like there's a coastal vibe that, you know, even if it's a bigger city, it gets that sort of beach vibe, you know.
Very, very unique, very great, very loud nightlife. One thing that I didn't know about, because I'd never spent time in Spain before, so I didn't know this, but what is the normal time to eat dinner in Spain?
9 o'clock.
Like 10, right?
9 or 10.
Yeah.
9 or 10 p.m. So you're going to bed, Elizabeth. You're going to miss dinner by like an hour.
I adjust to a Mediterranean diet. I do. I eat you late on Christmas. So, yeah.
But it was so funny to me after, especially after coming out of COVID with all of this, all of these restrictions everywhere, and everything's usually closing so much earlier. And even the place I live in, a place where I can't get food after 5 p.m. if I'm not making it, to be someplace where you could go, you know, you're not even going out to dinner until 9 or 10 p.m. So
yeah, but they have siesta.
Yeah, they have it figured out, man. They have that siesta in the middle of the day too. Yeah. So it's easier for them to stay up late to eat because they've taken a nap in the middle of the day, like any sane person would do.
I love the Spanish for that.
Yeah. It's a brilliant lifestyle. I just love it.
It's definitely something to aspire to.
Yes.
That was one of the things I found the most unique and interesting, was that the shift on this attitude of why would you eat so early? Why would you eat dinner so early?
Like, why wouldn't you take a nap at the hottest part of the day?
Right.
Why wouldn't you? Just live a little bit with a little bit more common sense and enjoy yourself in the afternoon when it's hot and miserable, and conserve your energy. And I don't know, I could totally get behind.
You have to adapt to it too, because restaurants don't open until like 8. If you wanted to eat at 6, you got to go to the grocery store.
Or you go to the bar and you basically get like a panini.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stores are shut down.
Yep.
You know, when they're lunchtime or break time, it's done. You know, it's like one thing I've absolutely love about most of the places that I seem to travel is getting to experience that new, different outlook on your daily life.
Can you talk a little bit more about the street art?
And I'm gonna send a bunch of pictures. Some of it was done typical graffiti style, but a lot of them were these big, beautiful murals, portraits of people, their faces. I don't know if you're going to be able to see that, but that's like the quality of street art.
Wow.
I'm talking about. That's so much. I saw one and it looked like it looked like it should be hanging on the wall in an art museum. It was a child's eyes coming outside of a window frame area. Just gorgeous, gorgeous street art. Some of it's unique. Some of it's a little weird.
I feel like more cities are doing this where they're like embracing the graffiti, where like back maybe 20 years ago, it was kind of a crime to do that, you know? And that's amazing.
Well, they commission it now. So it's, you know, it's being granted with, you know, certain permission to, yeah.
But this is definitely a place I would have paid to do a graffiti tour.
Yeah.
Just to go out and see all the art. Cause I know there for all of the stuff that we saw, there was probably so much that we missed that, you know, it seemed like didn't matter how many times I'd go down a street. It always felt like something new was there. And then of course, some of this art, if the store is open, you can't see it because it's on the, it's on their security grates. So,
yeah.
So Lindsay, I'm curious, you know, a lot of Americans do end up in Barcelona as a pre or post cruise tour. So you were there for 4 days. A lot of people, if they're doing pre or post, it's only 1 or 2 days. Do you feel like 4 days was a better choice? You think 2 days is like...
4 days was a better choice, but I wish I'd had more. I'm not really going to count my first day because I was so tired. And the last day was all about getting out of there. So I feel like I personally would like to go back and spend a week just enjoying the city. and kind of like not living like a local, but living like a more appreciative traveler, maybe in that area, and doing a little bit of a slower travel there, I think would be, you know, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not leaving yourself enough time to experience a destination the way that you prefer. If all you want to do is go here, 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 and check off these boxes, that's fine. But I want to sit at a cafe and I want to people watch. I want to walk into that store and find that one thing that I didn't know I couldn't live without, and that I'm going to, you know, a purse that I'm going to carry forever and always remember that I got my purse in Barcelona or that one little handcrafted thing that's going to make somebody you care about smile, or, you know, that one perfect tapa or that one drink you didn't know existed. And I don't know. I feel like I wish I'd had at least one more night. I think one more night and I probably would have felt like I felt like I wanted to go back and see more. Mm-hmm. So I definitely wouldn't say one or two nights, I don't think is enough.
When you did your food tour, was that during the day or was that in the evening?
At night.
Okay.
At night, of course, because they don't start eating until 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. So it started at, I want to say we started at like 5:30 and went to like 11.
Oh, that's a really long tour.
It wasn't supposed to be that long. It was only supposed to be like 3 hours, but she was really nice and she took us to a bunch of different places. And at the end of it, I think she was just hanging out with us. But it was a nice mix of people too on that tour. It was very unique people I was on that tour with. But she's one of the intrepid, and I know you guys know who Intrepid Travel is. So mm-hmm. She's there. That was one of the Intrepid Travel tours.
Interesting. Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.